This episode has been sponsored in part by our friends at Veeam. Are you tired of juggling the cost of AWS backups and recovery with your SLAs? Quit the circus act and check out Veeam. Their AWS backup and recovery solution is made to save you money, not that that's the primary goal, mind you, while also protecting your data properly. They're letting you protect 10 instances for free with no time limits, so test it out now. You can even find them on the AWS marketplace at snark.cloud/backitup. Wait, did I just endorse something on the AWS marketplace? Wonder of wonders, I did. Look, you don't care about backups, you care about restores. And despite the fact that multi-cloud's a dumb strategy, it's also a realistic reality. So make sure that you're backing up data from everywhere with a single unified point of view. Check them out at snark.cloud/backitup. Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the end of week one of reInvent here on the AWS Morning Brief. AWS did a lot of things. Let's dive into them because, my God, to be clear, this is not a complete list. It's just the interesting highlights over the past week. The big announcement, of course, is they announced EC2 Mac instances for macOS. And yes, they are expensive compared to buying a Mac and running it yourself. But they're also who gives a crap kind of money to the teams who are going to benefit from this the most for CI/CD pipelines. They often have security or regulatory requirements that their Mac build process of a Mac Mini under someone's desk has been wildly forgetting about for a long time now. This is a huge win for them, and I think that it's a little short-sighted to slam this just because it's not economical to run this as your personal daily workstation. That's not what it's for, yet. AWS CloudTrail provides more granular control of data event logging through advanced event selectors. Sounds like a weird thing for me to throw in, but it came out very quietly, and it's hugely valuable. If you've been avoiding using CloudTrail data events because it's noisy and expensive, this lets you select just the things you care about. Take a look. Amazon Machine Images, AMIs, now support tag-on-create and tag-based access control. I find it fascinating they're still improving the AMI process, even given the fact that they're, what, a decade and change old? But that's enough old stuff. Let's talk new stuff. Amazon Web Services announces AWS Proton. Yes, a service that takes aim at its biggest competitors in the market for building and deploying applications, such as the Serverless App Repo, CodeStar, the AWS Service Catalog, and the Service Catalog App Registry. Because why have one service that does the same thing when you can have five? Introducing Amazon Lookout for Equipment, a service which detects abnormal equipment behavior and enables predictive maintenance. An AWS service namer is given up, and we're looking forward to seeing other services named after signs next week, such as Amazon employees must wash hands before returning to work, AWS don't walk on grass, and Amazon 11 foot 8 inches. AWS announces Aqua for Amazon Redshift. They're making a big deal about this and have scrubbed their own blog posts to hide the fact they announced this at reInvent in 2019. AWS has announced tiered pricing for IO operations, or IOPS, for Elastic Block Store IO2 volumes, meaning above a certain threshold, they drop the price by 15%. Remember, you almost never need IO1 or IO2 volumes. Check your EBS burst balance. It's probably the instance doing something weird. Reach out to me if you want clarity on that. But if you're using IO1 or IO2 for anything less than massive throughput, let's chat. AWS Compute Optimizer now supports EBS volume recommendations. This sucks in a few ways. One, it doesn't tell you to switch from GP2 to GP3. Let's be very clear, that has no performance repercussions and saves you 20% off the top. It doesn't tell you you're over-provisioned entirely by using IO1 or IO2 volumes and just use GP3 instead. And it should either be its own top-level service called AWS Storage Optimizer, or, more preferably, this shouldn't be a top-level service at all and live somewhere in Cost Explorer or the billing tools. But, you know, other than that, it's great. AWS Lambda charges duration billing granularity from 100 milliseconds down to 1 millisecond. The internet's losing its mind over this because everyone's 7-cent Lambda bill is now going to be a lot closer to 5 cents every month. Lambda now supports container images as a packaging format. That's right, Docker is now Lambda, or Lambda is now Docker, or I don't even know anymore because I am oh so very confused. Lambda also supports up to 10 gigs of memory and 6 CPU cores for Lambda functions. Now that Salesforce has acquired Slack, their next task is to get its Memory Hog client to run entirely within Lambda. This episode is sponsored in part by Chaos Search. Now their name isn't in all caps, so they're definitely worth talking to. What is Chaos Search? A scalable log analysis service that lets you add new workloads in minutes, not days or weeks. Click. Boom. Done. Chaos Search is for you if you're trying to get a handle on processing multiple terabytes or more of log and event data per day at a disruptive price. One more thing for those of you who've been down this path of disappointment before, Chaos Search is a fully managed solution that isn't playing marketing games when they say fully managed. The data lives within your S3 buckets, and that's really all you have to care about. No managing of servers, but also no data movement. Check them out at chaossearch.io and tell them Corey sent you. Watch for the wince when you say my name. That's chaossearch.io. Contact Lens for Amazon Connect launches real-time contact center analytics to detect customer issues on live calls. This will detect customer phrases that indicate customers having issues, such as not happy, poor quality product, cancel my subscription, were your parents cousins, you ignorant swamp donkey, and the ethics of Facebook. Python support for Amazon Code Guru is available in preview. I tested it over the weekend. It's crap. Not the service, my code. My code is crap. And this found no issues with any of the code I could put through it. And it would have charged me $5 to do that had I not been in preview mode. So what's the point of this service again? Amazon DevOps Guru helps identify application errors and fixes. That's right, Amazon is stepping into direct competition with Azure DevOps for the service that gets absolutely roasted for its name on Twitter the most in 2021. Amazon EKS Distro, the Kubernetes distribution used by Amazon EKS. Now that EKS is open source, at long last, you can finally run Kubernetes somewhere that isn't in an AWS data center. Amazon Monitron, a simple and cost-effective service enabling predictive maintenance. An AWS service namer lost an arm wrestling contest with a robot and had to name Monitron after the robot as a result. New Amazon QuickSight Q answers natural language questions about business data, like, Q, why did I cheap out and use QuickSight instead of Tableau? S3 has been updated. It now offers strong read-after-write consistency. After 14 years, S3 is strongly consistent. That means that you can now, and I swear I am not making this up, use S3 as a database. AWS Marketplace now offers professional services. I'm being completely sincere when I say this. Why can't I find and hire an accountant or an attorney on the AWS Marketplace? Why does the offering need to be tied to third-party software? New, Amazon GP3 Volume lets you provision performance apart from capacity. GP3 is a game changer, full stop, use it. 80% of the cost of GP2, it can be converted in place with no ill effects, and there's no downside. Do it immediately, but there was a bug in the billing system that had it off by a factor of a million, so your proposed bills might be horrifyingly large. Don't worry, it's not real, it's getting fixed. Take a look, use it immediately. Introducing Amazon ECS Anywhere. You can now deploy ECS anywhere. Does that include other cloud providers? Huh, the AWS employee I was asking just dove through a window rather than answer that question. Introducing new cloud-based creative studio, PrayMaker. The only way an Amazon thing with the name PrayMaker could be worse is if the service itself were a startup incubator. Want more PostgreSQL? You might just like Babelfish. Translation layers are super hard to pull off between databases, but getting away from Microsoft SQL in favor of PostgreSQL or PostgreSQL, however you pronounce it, is a game changer, provided it works. The license costs are massive for Microsoft SQL Server. Look into it. And lastly, in the not particularly snarky case, empowering formerly incarcerated citizens through coding skills, training, mentorship, and job support. Not everything AWS puts out is important, but this is. I would encourage you to hunt down what they're doing as far as helping folks who'd been incarcerated reenter the workforce. It's amazing. And lastly, on a personal note, if you enjoy this nonsense, visit lastweekinaws.com/mug and buy a mug, all proceeds to charity, and that's your ticket to a virtual event I'll be holding in 2021. I think you're going to like it. That's what happened last week in reInvent. Let's see what the next 2 weeks have if I don't die in the process.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.